praise His name. You remain standing just a moment, please. It is indeed a privilege to be in this great convocation of apostolic believers. To feel the wonderful, redundant power of the Holy Ghost prevailing upon the congregation. It is truly the hour of revival. And I'm excited about serving the Lord. And thrilled about being a child of God. And I appreciate this opportunity to stand before you today and to bring to you the Word of the Lord. Inasmuch as there hasn't been much preaching around here. Heavenly Father. I tell you, somebody said, now what? That's the question, now what? Kind of feel like getting up and saying, mega ditto. And we're going to pick up the fragments here. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. And this is a great hour to be in the church of the living God. I don't come to you today with any sad stories, but with a message of encouragement. I would like to encourage those who are among us at this point who are not really seeing what they want to see and not experiencing what they want to experience. I believe the Lord is ready to fulfill your spiritual ambitions and dreams. This is the hour of great spiritual exploits. How many folks are seeing wonderful things happen right now in the Holy Ghost where you're ministering? Praise God. Turning to the Word of the Lord, Luke chapter 18. I will preach fast today and move along. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, no, I fear not God, nor regard man. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I'm excited to speak to you today from verse number 8, where the Bible says, I tell you, that he will avenge them speedily. He will avenge them speedily. I want to preach to you today on the subject, God's speedy vengeance. God's speedy vengeance. Turn around to somebody and shake their hand and say, the unjust judge said he will do it. God bless you. You may be seated. When we proclaim, prophesy, and predict energetically, excitedly, enthusiastically, apostolic revival, citywide, statewide, nationwide, worldwide revival, are we whistling in the dark? Are we simply carrying a security blanket of comfort? Are we punching the applause buttons in the congregation and the assembly? Or is it rational, reasonable, plausible, feasible, and possible that these kind of things can actually happen in our lives, in our ministries, in our churches? I tell you, it is indeed a reality. Too many times I feel that we have left church like the little boy who was riding home from service with his dad, who was the pastor, and said to the father in the car, the son and the dad, the boy said, "Dad, did that really happen, or were you just preaching?" When we talk about citywide revival, statewide revival, national revival, worldwide revival, we're not just preaching. God is ready to pour out His Spirit like we have never seen it poured out before. However, it is possible that the smallest and most minute things can get in our way to block us from a complete surrendering and giving of ourselves to revival like we ought to. It's not usually some great big catastrophe or gigantic roadblock. Many times it's just an errant thought and an errant attitude. I feel it is very important that we regulate some thoughts and some mentalities and come to the bottom line about all of this and recognize that where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. The only restrictions, limitations upon the potential of this apostolic church that you and I are a part of today are between our ears. The only limitations are between our ears. God is ready to fulfill His Word in this hour. Here a while back, everywhere you went, the message was revival. It was evangelism. It was church growth. Thank God we're returning to those kind of attitudes again. And I appreciate the fact that we're hearing it in this meeting. But I would go to those meetings, and it's not easy for me to get excited. Because I try to stay excited. I was just born in the fire, and I can't live in the smoke. And I really haven't got over being saved, and I hadn't got over having the Holy Ghost, and I hadn't got over knowing who Jesus is, and I hadn't got over being a part of the rest of the redeemed blood bought, sanctified church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so I'd go to these conferences, and they'd be preaching revival. And man, I'd slide out on the edge of my seat like I see some of you here today on the edge of my pew. I was waiting on every word. They preached about busting them in. They preached about building new churches. They preached about citywide crusades. They preached about Pentecost moving across the tracks, coming downtown, being the heart of the conversation of the city, and impacting and influencing a generation for Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I like that kind of talk. I enjoy that kind of talk. That motivates me and excites me. And they talk about congregations being converted to truth and great numbers of people being baptized and brand new buildings on lovely plush property right out in the city where people could see it good and all of that. And I get so excited about it, I just about come apart rejoicing over the possibilities and the potential of revival. And then suddenly the message switched from revival to prophecy. And everybody began to preach about, "He's coming. He's coming." And they would preach it so emphatically and so dynamically and so specifically that you didn't know whether you ought to leave the church that night. Maybe you ought to just bring the family in a backpack and stay around the altar. Because He's coming so soon. And some of the young people in our movement here recently, the prophecy was coming so hot and so heavy relative to the soon return of the Lord. They decided, if we're going to get married, we better get on with this business. And they were going out and getting married. Matter of fact, when the war broke out, I had a couple to come to me and say, we want to move our wedding date up. And they said, we found these ashes and this stone is being set and this is being fulfilled and this, and everybody's hair is coming up on the back of their head and everybody's packing up for the rapture. Right. And I'm standing here between revival and rapture. This guy's telling me we're going to pack our churches. We're going to have revival. God's going to move. We're going to see the cities converted statewide, nationwide, worldwide. And over here, he's telling me any minute now. Just any minute now, the trumpet's going to sound. And the harder he preaches the prophetic message, the more I say, goodbye, new church. Goodbye, revival. Goodbye, citywide stir. Goodbye, hundreds being baptized. Because I could not negotiate how in the world both of those preachers could be right. And I'm preaching to some folks today. The only thing that hinders you from the full impact of the apostolic revival that God wants you to have is the fact that you are snared in the paralysis of analysis. And you're constantly analyzing, is the revivalist right or is the rapture preacher right? Which one's right? Folks, I was confused as a termite in a yo-yo. I didn't know who to believe or what to believe. And it paralyzed me. And there may be some folks here today who are paralyzed. But let me tell you, I want to set you free because God spoke to me and said both of them's right. They're both right. They're both right. Woo! Hallelujah. Are we or are we not? Do we or do we not? Will we or will we not? Can we or can we not? Shall we or shall we not? Let's settle the issue. And because of the times, the God that we serve is able to avenge us speedily. God said, I'm going to do it. But when I do it, it's going to happen so fast that you will be amazed at how fast God fulfills His Word. Praise His name. Praise His name. This world is in for a revival that is going to snatch the church out and leave the devil dizzy, wondering which way did they go. In Matthew 26:53, Jesus said, thinkest thou I cannot now pray to my Father and He shall presently. Everybody say now. Everybody say presently. Give me more than 12 legions of angels. You think it's an uncontrollable situation. You think it's midnight, it's over, it's finished. I'm caught, I'm captured, I'm surrendered. But Jesus said, let me tell you, I can pray to my Father now. Even with these obstacles. Even in these surroundings. Even in these barriers. I tell you, I can pray right now. And He can presently send me 12 legions of angels. Don't throw the towel in on your ambition. Don't throw the towel in on your aspiration. Don't throw the towel in on your dream. Don't throw the towel in on your vision. It's never too late for a miracle. It's never too late for a miracle. Hallelujah. I said it's never too late for a miracle. You say, well, I've been there 5 years. That doesn't matter. It's not too late. I've been here 10 years. It's not too late. You might think just because it hasn't happened. And I want to emphasize this. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't happen. Hey, today. Just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't mean it's not going to happen. The angelic annunciation was to two women. One of them was a virgin, and another was an old barren woman who had never conceived. And the Holy Ghost said, let me tell you, in the latter days, not only will the virgin Tori receive the seed and bring forth sons and daughters, but the old barren, inconceivable church that stayed and dry and traditional will in the last days have her womb open and began to conceive and to bring forth sons and daughters. Hey, you may have left a dead church, but God can make it a live church, and it don't take Him long to do it. You may have left an empty church, but God can make it a full church, and it doesn't take Him long to do it. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. I teach a lot of home Bible studies. And folks are always interested in Genesis 1. How long did it take the Lord to create all that we enjoy? Now don't expect me to answer that. Dispensational days? Solar days? Creative days? 6 days resting on the seventh? How long did it take Him? 7,000 years? 49,000 years? I'll tell you how long it took Him. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, verse 7, and it was so. Verse 9, and God said, and it was so. Verse 11, and God said, and it was so. Verse 14, and God said, 15 says, and it was so. 24 says, and God said, and it was so. 29 says, and God said, and 30 says, and it was so. All God's got to do is say it. God's not on a time clock. God don't need a day, a month, a year, 10 years. All God's got to do is speak the word. All God's got to do is say it. And I hear a prophetical voice in the Spirit. God's speaking to some hearts now, 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 now. You may have tarried long. You may have waited long. But when God does it, it doesn't take Him long to do it. Woo! Hallelujah. My foundation for this message is predicated not upon prophetical or futuristic happenings. I think we need to lay hold on the past and have victory for the present. The church leans too much on futuristic occurrences and events. Hey, Calvary's a settled fact. You can't undo the blood. It's already been shed. It doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. Victory's already been settled. And it's not in front of us, it's behind us. Death reigned for 4,000 years. Everybody say 4,000 years. But in 3 days, Jesus dethroned death. Death reigned for 4,000 years. But in 3 days, Jesus defeated and dethroned death. Because when others couldn't get up, He did. When they put Him down, He got up. And I'm telling you, just because you're down doesn't mean you have to stay down. It's not your place in life. It's not your position in life. Get up, get up, get up. Somebody said it's always been that way. Well, it's time to change. It's time to change. It's time to change. God can do it, and He can do it in a hurry. Listen to this.
And He said to them, I beheld and Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Jesus said, I beheld Satan.
As lightning.
As lightning.
Fall from heaven.
Fall from heaven. That's good. When God got ready to debase the devil and put down his regime, it didn't take Him long to do it. long he put up with that. I don't know how long he let that pseudo coup d'etat take place until God said, that's enough. I've had it. Get out of here. And when it came out, 186,284 miles per second. When God gets ready to do it, it doesn't take him long to get the job done. When God gets ready to do it, it doesn't take him long to get the job done. There may be some type of evil influence that strangled your church, that has bound your church, that has restricted your church. But when God gets ready to break that hold, it's going to be broken. And it doesn't take him long to do it. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:52. I hasten on.
In a moment.
In a moment.
In the twinkling of an eye.
In the twinkling of an eye.
At the last trump.
At the last trumpet.
For the trump shall sound.
The trump's going to sound.
And the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
The dead shall be raised incorruptible.
And we shall be changed.
We're going to be changed. When? How? In a moment.
In a moment.
When God says that's enough, church, I'm tired of it. When God says it's finished, we're getting out of here in a moment.
In a moment.
It's not going to take God long.
In a twinkling of an eye.
Get his church out.
Yeah. In a moment, in a twinkling.
In a moment, in a moment.
In a moment, in a twinkling.
It may take the USA several months to deploy their troops. It may take our government quite a while to deploy our troops from this bank to that desert. But when Jesus Christ gets ready to deploy his church,
in a moment,
in a moment,
in a twinkling, in a moment,
of an eye, an atomic moment, an undividable point of time, God will take his church out. Though he bear long, though he bear long, you may seem like it's never coming. You may think I'm never going to get it. You may think I'll never will arrive there. And then the enemy steps in and says, why, if the Bible's true, the rapture's getting ready to take place anyway, we might as well just all get around the altar. But you don't understand the sovereign, supernatural, awesome, unpredictable, uncontrollable power of our God. Somebody said, we got X number of churches and if so many converts were to be baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost today, it would take us X number of years to reach the world. That's you figuring it out. You put your pen down. You put your pistol down. You put your paper up. We're serving a God that can't be calculated. He can't be mathematically figured out. Woo! And I tell you, it's happening right now. There are things happening right now that's happening so fast. It's amazing. The lady moved to our city here a while back from another United Pentecostal church out of state. They had transferred by job to Raleigh. 20 years she served the Lord from her youth up into her married life. Served the Lord without a mother in the church, without a father in the church. 20 years she prayed for them. They moved to Raleigh. Said, do you think your mom and dad would allow me to teach them a home Bible study? She said, well, I don't know. They might. So Tommy and I started teaching a Bible study there. And in a few weeks, he got the Holy Ghost and got baptized. She got the Holy Ghost and got baptized. And now her mother and father are both in the church. But it didn't take 6 months. And it didn't take 2 years. And it didn't take 5 years. Not even 15. 20 years later, God did it in one night. Oh, there's not time for my backslidden son to come back. Don't try to control God. God can do it. Maybe you're the only one in your family, but there's still time for God to do a work in your family. There's still time for God to bring them in. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't throw the towel in. When God does it, He can do it in a hurry. Israel was in Egyptian bondage for 430 years. 430 years. But one night, three to 5 million Jews walked out. In one night. Now this is what I like. I've taught enough Bible studies to believe that Egypt is a type of sin. It's a type of the world. Right? Coming out of Egypt is an Old Testament illustration of Bible salvation coming through the blood of the Lamb. In one night, 3 to 5 million came out. To 5 million in one night. Something's about to break loose that's going to smoke the Pentecostals' brains. That's going to be greater than we can even believe. Greater magnitude, greater glory, greater power. Woo, hallelujah. Maybe your baptistry's dry. Maybe it's got cobwebs over it. Maybe there's dead mice living in it. But before next Sunday, you could be putting people down in good, clean water in the name of Jesus. Hey, listen. You may be seated. I don't know what you're hearing, but let me tell you what I'm hearing. We're baptizing people every service. People are getting the Holy Ghost on prayer meeting night. People are getting the Holy Ghost on Bible study night. Everywhere I go, they're saying, I can't believe it. We baptize somebody every weekend. Somebody, folks, we better wake up. It's not going to be here long. But when it comes, it's going to be in a hurry. It's going to be in a hurry. Romans says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. What's the word? Shortly. Shortly. It's not going to take God long to put him under your feet. You think he's so awesome. He's got so much control. Well, it'd take years to get all the devil out of my church. You don't know God. You don't know the power of God. And anybody that tries to stand in the way of an apostolic revival don't know the power of God. Our God's greater, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may ask or think. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3.
Then Nebuchadnezzar. The king was astonished.
He was astonished.
And he rose up in haste. And he spake and said unto his counselor.
Go ahead.
Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of that fire?
I thought we cast three in there.
They answered and said unto king, true,
yeah,
O king.
It was three and they were bound.
He answered and said, lo, I see Four men loose.
If there's two things that disturb hell, it's a loose church in the Holy Ghost and the numerical value going up. He said we put three in.
But there are four.
But I see four. Yeah. I tell you, I'm interested in growth. And I believe it's the will of God for the church in the last days to grow. Yeah. And beside that, he said, they're loose.
They're loose.
Oh, we're not talking about holiness now. We're not talking about standards now. We're talking about Holy Ghost vibrations. Hold on right there, Brother Mangan. Just a minute. Let me preach right here just a minute. My Lord, have mercy. Now, you folks know that I kind of like Pentecost being Pentecost. And I like shouting. And I like excitement. And I believe you do too. But if you think you're going to quieten the church down to get it to grow, you're wrong. The reason the crowd assembled to begin with is when it was noise to brawl. Woo! Now I'm going to tell you what's happening. They're coming from everywhere. They're coming from everywhere. They're coming out of the woodwork. Just a few Sundays ago, not just in Raleigh, but I'm hearing it everywhere. The doors of the church opened a little late on Sunday morning. In came a man with 8 or 10 people with him. I didn't know who they were. They looked like Christians. They looked like they'd been bussed in. They looked like a congregation. They come parading in. They sit down. They worship God with us. They praise the Lord with us. And after church, I went back to greet him and find out what the story was. And the man was a minister of a Pentecostal type church. And he had brought his nucleus of congregation with him because he said, a friend of ours, this church, this man is 2 hours from Raleigh. They drove 2 hours to be in church on Sunday morning. He said, we came because a certain lady visited here a few weeks ago. And she came back home telling us about the worship and the liberty and the freedom of praise. And he said, she told us, you won't believe it. You got to go see it. And he brought him and his wife and about 8 or 10 other people to church and sat on the pews. And when it was over, he said, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is exactly what I've been searching for. Another pastor in North Carolina called me and told me almost the exact same story had happened there that weekend. I'm telling you, it's not time for us to be formal. It's not time for us to be dead. It's not time for us to be lukewarm. It's not time for us to be lackadaisical. It's time for us to worship God and have old-fashioned apostolic revival. But let me show you where it's really going to have its impact. We'll be right back there in a minute. We're talking about numbers and we're talking about being loose. He was astonished. And in this dead, dull, dry hour, folks are astonished that people still praise God. And he said, are you still praising God? Are you still worshiping God? We didn't know there was anybody else like this. We didn't know there was such a place. But I want you to notice, we have given all the emphasis and the power of praise and worship to the New Testament converts, to our new converts. But I'll be honest with you and tell you that when new converts praise God, it doesn't have too much effect. I mean, to the Lord, He loves it, yes. He receives it. And we expect it, but, you know, that's normal. But it doesn't really do a whole lot to the church. Now, that's true. It doesn't really do just an amazing part to the church. The saints just smile, you know. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that precious? That's generally the way it's treated, you know. God bless them. It's almost like, you know, poor darling. Yeah. But it doesn't really send too many strong waves through the church. But the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6 that when Isaiah got a vision of the glory of the Lord. And he saw the temple. The scripture said, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And then there was a manifestation of holy smoke. The smoke filled the house. The glory of God filled the house. But it happened when the post of the door moved. Really, the post are the pillars. It's when the pillars of the temple began to move. When the pillars began to move. Woo! It's when the board members start moving. It's when the church secretary starts moving. It's when the holy mothers in Israel start moving. It's when the patriarchs start moving. It's when the pastor starts moving. It's when the preacher starts moving that the holy smoke fills the temple hall. Woo! That's why preachers have got to lead the way in worship and praise. If you've lost your shout, you better find it. If you've lost your joy, you need to find it. Because when the pillars move, things start happening. Expect saints to do what we won't do. If we want them to be excited, we're going to have to get excited. If we want them to jump, we're going to have to jump. If we want them to dance, we're going to have to dance. If we want them to talk in tongues, we're going to have to talk in tongues. And when the posts of the temple move, glory is coming down. You may be seated. Hallelujah. God can do it, and He can do it in a hurry. God can do it, and He can do it in a hurry. God can do it, and He can do it in a hurry. It won't take 10 years to fill that church. You don't have to wait 15 years. You don't have to wait. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Let's everybody stand, if you're not standing. All right. You may be seated then. It may be that God really hadn't started working for you yet. You're still knocking. Now, this is not taken away from prayer and fasting and evangelism, knocking doors and outreach. It's not taken away from nothing. You got to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. But one day God said, all right, now it's time. And when He starts, it won't take Him long to do the job. Let's look at another place in history. I'll continue reading right where you were.
Finish and they were loose. I remember that word.
Yeah.
And they were walking in the midst of the fire.
They were moving in the fire.
And they had no hurt.
And nothing was hurting them.
But the form of that fourth is like the Son of God.
Hey, now don't let anybody tell you that moving in the fire is going to hurt you. The Bible said they walked in the fire and they had no hurt. It ain't going to hurt you to walk in the fire. Read on.
So the one that was in there with him was like the Son of God.
He was like the Son of God.
He wasn't hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
Won't hurt him.
Then
either.
Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning
he
fire.
He came near. If you could just see what's going on beyond these walls, there's a lot of folks that are sneaking up on us.
Yeah.
They are coming near. They are coming near. They are easing up on us. Woo! They're coming near. Hallelujah. Read on.
Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. And he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Hey!
Ye servants of the Most High God.
Servants of the Most High God.
Come forth.
Come out of there.
Come hither.
Come here.
Then Shadrach,
and
Meshach.
I like what one guy said one time. This ain't original, so I have to kind of parentheses around this. Lest I be guilty of stealing. They said, come out of the fire. You put us in. You come get us out. Come on in, the fire's fine. Come on, join us. The fire's fine. We got plenty of room. Help us exalt Jesus. Help us lift Him up. Read on.
Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire.
They came out.
And then the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men.
They saw them.
Upon whose body the fire had no power.
Woo, hallelujah. Go ahead.
Nor was the hair of their head singed.
Right.
Neither were their coats changed,
okay.
Nor the smell of fire had passed on them.
Right.
Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said.
Then, this is what I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
Then.
Nebuchadnezzar
said.
Spake. And he said, blessed be the God.
He said, praise God. When they came out of that fire, the king started praising God. He said, blessed be the God.
Of Shadrach.
Meshach.
Abednego.
Blessed
is angel.
When he saw that, he started praising God. You may be seated. Read on now.
Who had sent his angels.
He has sent his angels.
And delivered his servants that trusted in him.
Delivered his servants that trusted in him.
And have changed the king's word.
And made a liar out of me. He made that their God has made a liar out of me. Some doctors have a hard time with Pentecostal preachers. Several years ago, the doctor said that my sister-in-law had a tumor in her body the size of a grapefruit. We prayed. The church prayed. Everybody prayed. We pled with him to run a test before the operation. He wouldn't do it. He went ahead and had the surgery and came back. And he said, to her, he said, there was nothing there. It was gone. When he came out of the operating room, I met him in the hall and I said, Doctor, I'm Pastor Huntley and this is a relative of mine. Would you share a little information with me about the surgery? He said, no. I have nothing to say to you. But you know what? I really don't blame him. He said it was there. We said it wasn't there. He was wrong and we were right. And all his degrees went right down the drain. And they don't like that. The king said, your God made a liar out of me. I said you would burn. Your God said, they ain't going to burn. Now, read.
And yielded their bodies.
They yielded their bodies.
That they might not serve.
That they might not serve.
Nor worship any God.
Nor worship any God.
Except their own God.
Their own God. Read.
Therefore I make a decree.
Here it is.
That every people.
Wait a minute. Can y'all see me? Let's get over here. Wrapped in his regal robes. He said, I make a decree. By the way, I make a decree
that every people,
nation,
and language, which speak anything amiss,
if you say anything wrong,
Against the God of Shadrach,
Meshach,
and Abednego, you shall be cut to pieces.
They spent a few hours or minutes, I don't know, in a Babylonian barbecue pit. The Bible didn't say they wouldn't sweat, but it did say they wouldn't burn. It might have gotten mighty hot under the collar in there. But just after a few hours of intense smoke, intense heat, the whole nation had to admit there's only one God. There's only one God. There's only one God. The whole nation. Remain standing.
Shall be cut to pieces.
If you say anything wrong,
your houses shall be made a dunghill.
Your history.
Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort.
I ask you, can God send us a revival? Is there time for our city? Is there time for our nation? Is there time for our world? He brought that whole kingdom before him in just a few minutes. Remain standing. In just a few minutes. Would it be wild to believe that someday maybe God could do something in America? And President Bush would say, forget about that new world system. I've discovered a new world right here in America called the world of Pentecost. I've discovered a new world right here called Acts 2:38. Don't talk about him anymore. Their God's the only one that can really deliver. Remain standing. I can tell you that God can do it in a hurry. You may have to bear long. 2 years. Our little building would not hold anybody else. could not have revival. Had to throttle the transmission. Couldn't kick her in. No place to put them. 2 years. I stood on the doorsteps of the church and watched people I didn't even know pull in the church lot and drive away. No place to park. No way to get in. And left. 2 years. Oh God, help me, Jesus. This can't be your will, Lord. I understand this. God, I know it's your will to be saved. But we're a new church and we don't have money and we don't have a background. We don't have history. It takes time. Did you found any land yet? No. Any large you doing yet? No. What y'all doing? Same old, same old.
Yeah.
We're still here. God help us. God open the door. Continually. 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 I preached a meeting out of state. Just preached a positive message of faith, whatever. And a lady came up to me after service and said, "You have been praying a long time prayer. And you don't know why God won't answer." She said, "Thus saith the Lord."
Yeah.
"In a few days you will have clear direction. And you will know exactly what to do." I just kind of tell me. I've been knocking. I've been waiting. I left that city, went home. The next day I got into my little office and the phone rang. It was my assistant pastor who is a land consultant in Raleigh. We'd done been prophesied about how much the land would cost and what part of town it'd be in and all that. And he said, "Brother Huntley," I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you ready to sign the papers on the new property?" The next day. I said, "Yes." "Where?" He said, "Where'd you want it?" He said, "It's there." I said, "How much land?" He said, "How much you say you wanted?" I said, "How much it cost?" He said, "How much you say it paid?" "Let's go sign the papers." I hung the phone up. Ring, ring, ring. "Hello. Is this Brother Huntley?" "Yes, it is." "Well, this is Pastor so-and-so. I heard you wanted to sell your building." So fast. Next call. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Called a Bible study to a man that was an architect. Got the Holy Ghost. Got baptized. He said, "Heard y'all wanting to build a new church." "Oh yes. Matter of fact, we are in need of new facilities." "Well, I'm a licensed architect. And I'll build that church for you. Free. Because you taught me a Bible study. I'll be glad to help the church." Fast! Fast! We completed the building. Getting ready to move in. He was about 40 years old at the time. Him and his wife didn't have any children. Biologically, they couldn't have them. And because of their age, they wanted a little bitty baby. And they couldn't get a little bitty baby because of the age gap in parenting. They were blocked. No way to get a baby. We finished the building. I said, "Brother Jim, I'm going to pray for you and your wife. And I believe God's going to give you a baby because you've helped us so much. I'm going to ask God to reward you." Well, one day I was at the building site. He come up and he said, "Hey, guess what? We adopted a baby." I said, "Great." They got a little boy. The next week, he'd come again. Yeah. Guess what? My wife's expecting. When God does it, He does it in a hurry. It doesn't take Him long. Now they got three children. And then they had another, and this one was a girl. Hey, let me tell you, be encouraged, church. It may not be happening now, but when God does it, it won't take Him long. I tell you something else, too. And to God be the glory. I'm just trying to encourage somebody. That new building was paid for last year. And the new building is full. And we're knocking the walls out and enlarging it. When God gets ready to do the work, it doesn't take Him long to do what He wants to do. Woo! Turn around to somebody and say, the judge said He'd do it. The judge said He'd do it. The judge said He'd do it.